Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Today we are delving into the world of live music and concert going and asking you, how much would you be willing to pay to watch your favourite band? Has dynamic pricing crowded you out of getting to a gig? And has escalated costs changed the atmosphere in the crowd? Do we feel a bit bitter about the price we end up paying? For many, live music is the ultimate experience, and I totally get that. There's nothing like a live gig, is there? But how much are you really prepared to pay for the love of music? Well, I'm joined here by Jess Spencer, presenter with Spin 103.8, and Kate Henshaw, freelance journalist. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Happy to be here.
I have to mention Fred again, because it's all kind of playing out today. So Fred again is, you know, the really cool DJ. He kind of has this hype, well, he has huge hype around his latest gig in Dublin. Over the weekend, it started playing out with posters of him appearing. The city that he was going to play in began with D. So, you know, we copped on, this is a Dublin gig. And now, just before we went live today, there was lots of people in the newsroom trying to get tickets, sold out, waiting list only. So there's a kind of a gamification happening with concert tickets. And this is the perfect example of it, the Fred again. Jess, you feel it's cheaper to go abroad sometimes.
Yeah, I've done it a couple of times now. I went to see, well, I was meant to see Taylor Swift in Vienna, and then the gig got cancelled.
Were you in Vienna when it got cancelled?
Yeah. So,
Janie.
Yeah, so we flew over a couple of days early, decided to make a big trip of it, because the tickets were €99 for Vienna general standing.
Okay.
And in Dublin, they were €130 for the standing, plus your ticket fees on top of that, like Ticketmaster charges. So we flew over to Vienna, was very excited, no idea what was going on in Vienna. Like, I had never considered going there. Arrived there, the gig actually got cancelled the night before due to a terrorist threat.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was heartbreaking. Like, I was sobbing. One of the biggest gigs of the year, like, looking forward to it for months. All my friends went to see Taylor in Paris, in London. I'd seen them all experience the gig, and then arrive over to Vienna and it was cancelled. So that was the heartbreaking
sign. But you see, the fact that even you're saying that your friends went to see her in other cities outside of Dublin.
Yeah.
So they're all thinking like you are, as in it's cheaper to get a cheap flight to another city.
Yeah, it's more of the experience as well. So, like, I don't know about you, but sometimes if I'm going to a gig in Dublin, because I live in Dublin, you're kind of going, oh God, you have to go out in the cold, and are we really that interested? Oh, well, we just sell the tickets, you
so
know?
So you want the adventure for a similar price as a Dublin gig. Is that basically it?
Yeah, I think you're building the hype a bit more. You're making something out of it. It's not just, oh God, we're going out into the cold, into the Three Arena, and going to have to get a taxi there and a bus back and whatever. If you're flying over to London or Paris or somewhere exciting, there's more to it than just a gig, you know?
Yeah.
And you're building that hype up in the lead up, and it's making it a big thing. And like, when I look at the prices, I was looking at the price for Westlife tickets. So for Dublin seating, they start at €88 for Westlife, and they're doing like 10 dates. And then if you look at in Denmark, the lowest prices for unrestricted viewing is €56. If you go for restricted viewing, it's actually €30.
This is for Westlife?
Yeah, for their next tour. So it's massive difference.
This is the September 26 tour that Westlife, by the way, are doing 13 nights in the Three Arena. I mean, hats off to the lads. This is an incredible payday for them. Well deserved. They're fantastic lads. There's nothing not to like about them. But like, the capacity in the Three Arena is somewhere between 9,500 and 13,000, depending on the way it's structured, standing, seated or whatever. And the tickets are coming out in Dublin between 100 and 150 quid when you add on your Ticketmaster fees and all that. I mean, I feel like it was only a couple of years ago, Kate, that tickets were half that price.
Absolutely, yeah.
Am I losing it here?
1,000,000%. I think pre-COVID is really the difference. I know one example is I went to see Arctic Monkeys in the Three Arena just pre-COVID. I think it was 2018. And then I went to see them again when they toured here a couple of years ago. And I think the difference was about €25 in the ticket. So I was standing, I believe I paid about €60 in 2018, and it was up at €85 or €90 the last time I saw them. So there's been a massive increase for sure.
It's crazy, isn't it? Now, I did buy Amble tickets recently for €70, which is starting to feel like a bit of a bargain now off the back of Oasis, especially.
Yeah, it feels cheap. It's weird. I mean, I went to see Taylor Swift in Dublin last year, and I'm a massive Swiftie. So it was one of the gigs that I would be very willing to pay a lot of money for.
And how much did you pay for those tickets now?
I went to two nights. So I paid the standing ticket
fee. That's Blahoolock.
Yeah, it was a big expense. I paid 130 to general stand the first night, and then I paid for front standing tickets, so it was right up the front. I was about two rows from the barrier. You were so close, you could, we were joking, you could almost see her pores. The view was amazing. But I paid €200, I think, for that, 210 maybe. And I think it's one of the only gigs I would have said was worth that amount of money. I would scoff at that amount of money for almost anyone else. But I got a 3.5 hour show. I got Paramore as well, who I actually saw separately for about €80 the year before. So it felt like good value for money. So for me, it's very dependent on the artist and the show that you might be getting, what I would be willing to pay.
Yeah. So why do you think this whole term of dynamic pricing is kind of a new concept to us? It's not new in the US, though, is it?
No, and I think it, a lot of people kind of get their backs up about it, rightfully so, because the artists can choose whether or not to turn on dynamic pricing. There was a big scandal when Oasis did it. Taylor Swift famously didn't turn on dynamic pricing, but her tickets ended up being very expensive anyway elsewhere because of scalpers and people, I suppose, the supply and demand of it all. People were willing to pay tens of thousands of occasionally for those tickets. So dynamic pricing is become a big conversation point of which artists turn it on, which leave it off. And you kind of get this problem when you have Ticketmaster, who has this monopoly over ticket selling. I mean, when's the last time you heard of anyone buying a ticket anywhere that wasn't Ticketmaster, unless it was a secondhand ticket?
Of course, yeah. Sean, a regular concert goer, is on the line. Sean, do you think concert tickets are just too expensive in Ireland these days?
To be honest with you, I think they've gone crazy altogether now. There was a time when you could go online, you could pick the tickets that you wanted and the seats you wanted to sit in. Now it's a lottery and you can be hanging on for ages. Now, as I say, I'm a serial concert goer for many, many years. But I think that's the first problem. The second problem you have is actually the price. And as that girl was just talking about, there's dynamic pricing there. I mean, the management for a lot of these artists go out to the market to see who's going to get them the best deal. And the likes of Live Nations or MCD or Akins or whatever trying to compete with each other as to who's going to put forward the best deal. And I think from what I can see, that's what's taken, is whatever's the best deal you can get. But I think the prices are gone crazy. Of recent times now, what I've done is I'm going to smaller venues. Like, for instance, I went to see Albert Lee there, who used to play with Eric Clapton, in the Pavilion there on the 14th of October. 30-odd euros, got the second row. And a fabulous venue, fabulous gig, and I got value for money. Now you're stuck. If you're lucky, you get a ticket. If you can get, you won't get the prize tickets, because they're always going to be boxed off. But you end up in the gods having paid crazy money, and you're looking down at a speck on a stage, or else you're looking at a screen. And to add insult to injury to all that, you have people in and out buying drink. And you're lucky if they don't spill it all over you.
Yeah, so they're there for the night out rather than the actual music.
Yeah, and I was at an Eagles gig there in the RDS, and we got a really, really good seat for, we had a contact. But there's a couple of guys sitting next to us who I think had something to do with the Eagles. They were Americans anyway. And they were in and out so much that they became an absolute. They were annoying everybody. And then they got so drunk, they literally were spilling booze all over everybody, which was absolutely appalling when you consider the price of the tickets that would have been paid for these particular seats.
Oh, it's infuriating. So, and I think you get one of those at every concert, Sean, don't you?
Well, it happens. It's not even at every concert. It happens an awful lot.
Yeah.
And then you get people arriving in late. And I can't understand. You've gone and paid all that money. And then you get a couple of people coming in who can't find their seats. And then you're standing up and you're annoying the people behind you. The fun is going out of it, to be honest with you. And as I said to you, you've got a number of the likings of Live Nations that own a number of the venues now as well. So they have the whole scene tied up. And as I say, you're buying a ticket. Not only are you buying the ticket, but you're then paying a fee for the privilege of buying the ticket.
Yeah. And also, you feel like you've bought the ticket, and then there's all these add-ons. It's a bit like the flight thing. It is far removed, the final price, from where you start, which is frustrating in itself. Let me read out some of these texts. Cheaper to see Bruce Springsteen in the UK than Croker. Elbow in Manchester. Going away for a gig is the way to go. All my sons have gone to the UK for a number of gigs this year. If people are willing, this is another text, if people are willing to pay these prices, they deserve to be ripped off by the very people they want to see, who control the price. How stupid are these people, says Paul in Dundrum. And someone else, I'm going to see Lewis Capaldi in Madison Square Gardens in decent seats to his right for $110 a ticket, Ian from Bray, living in New Jersey. Well, that's okay. But like, it is important to keep the business in Ireland. I mean, we know ourselves, Jess, the amount of money that's brought in for a big gig is huge. You know, the Oasis gigs were a great example of that in terms of hospitality, hotels, restaurants. Lots of the hospitality industry really suffering. They need those big paydays.
Yeah, it's a massive thing for the tourist industry in general. Like, you have people going out every night in the lead up to the gigs, after the gigs. People want to be out. You, like, for a lot of people, it's not just you go to the gig. It's what happens before, what happens after. I went to see Robbie Williams a few weeks ago and we went to the pub beforehand, had a few chats, gotten to a good vibe, get good energy between us. It was my mom, my aunts and myself. We were just getting into the spirit of wanting to go for a gig and on a night out. And then afterwards, I went out with some of my mates. So it's not just a gig. You're giving people a reason to go out rather than just, we'll be sitting inside on a Saturday night.
Of course, get out and spend some money. And, you know, the city needs to be moving. The economy needs to be moving. Dave Hannerty, host of the No Encore Music podcast, is on the line. Are tickets more expensive in Ireland than anywhere else, Dave, do you think?
It could be a lot worse. I mean, you kind of think about the other side of this conversation. You think about, you know, like Live Nation was mentioned there. So I'm going to give you a quote now from their CEO. His name is Michael Rapinoe. He was speaking at a sports and media conference just last month. And he said that, I quote, "Music has been underappreciated, especially compared to sports. In sports, I joke, it's like a badge of honor to spend 70 grand for a courtside seat at a New York Knicks game. And they beat me up if we charge $800 for Beyonce." He said, "We have a lot of runway left. And when you read about ticket prices going up, the average concert price is still $72 over there. Try going to a Laker game for that." So the concert is underpriced, he says, and has been for a long time. Now, these quotes naturally drew a lot of derision from people within music. Jack Antonoff, the kind of super producer who's worked with Taylor Swift and Lorde and Sabrina Carpenter, he said it breaks his heart and it's a sick way of looking at it. And he said that people at the top of the tower, in terms of the artists, can choose to not gouge their fans. But if you're looking at it from a capitalism perspective, that's what they will do. And like the Taylor Swift thing is of it all as well. She has a lot to answer for here, whether we're fans of her or not, because what's happened now is the Eras Tour became so unmissable to the general public. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to go, even if you had no opinion about Taylor Swift, even if you don't like Taylor Swift. And it isn't just pop music and it isn't just Taylor Swift. Oasis has been mentioned here as well. And for starters, if you took an exit poll of the people who paid 400 quid to see them in Croke Park, and, you know, are you happy? Are you not happy? They will say they were happy because those gigs were dreamland for the people who went there. And in the end, the money didn't matter. Enough time had passed. People had made their peace with it and they loved the show that they got. But the reality is, I know people who went to Oasis who actually dislike Oasis, but felt I have to be there. So whether it's social media and putting up posts on your Instagram, or whether it's this kind of soft branding, you know, rebranding of a pay-per-view to a thing called a premium live event, these are now happenings. They are experiences. They are multimedia events for you to go to. And the reality is people will pay the money. The reason why the prices are going up isn't just inflation. It's people paying the money. And in the case of Westlife and doing 13 shows in the Three Arena, which I had to stop myself and try and figure out what year I was living in when I saw that press release come out, and fair play to the lads, it is time to cash in, and cash in they will. People will pay the money and they will enjoy the shows.
And it's supply and demand. You know, there's obviously enough demand there. And as you say, and I don't think this is the case with Westlife, actually, there's just so many genuine hardcore fans of Westlife. And there's the nostalgia piece as well, which I completely get myself. But with the Oasis thing, yes, people were buying it because it was a cool event to be part of. You were nodding there, Kate, about that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't consider myself to be the biggest Oasis fan in the world, but I nearly caught myself buying tickets on resale the week of and had to kind of check myself and say, I don't have this €400 to be spending on this gig. Because you have these, I suppose, these gigs, and Taylor Swift, Dave is right, Taylor Swift is a lot to blame for this. Gigs and tours have become cultural phenomenons. Every artist now has an era that is all centered around a particular theme. People don't really just tour albums anymore. And it becomes, due to social media and other factors, it becomes a phenomenon on the likes of which I don't remember really seeing before COVID. And the nostalgia piece is interesting as well, because you do have a lot of these artists now coming back to cash in, or so some may say. But I suppose it is about the experience.
Or give us the performance of a lifetime if you want to take the other side of it, I suppose. Darren Rice, presenter with Beat. Are concert tickets out of reach for the average person these days, do you think?
I think they are to an extent. You know, you kind of have to look at some of the big pop acts that are around these days. Benson Boone, for example, was in town last week.
Yeah.
And I know a family of three who paid close to €800 for three seats. No disrespect to Benson Boone, he's doing great things and he's very much riding the crest of a wave. And he had that great Grammys performance, which kind of boosted his profile to an extent, backflipping in front of, you know, the world's glitterati music-wise. But, like, he's really only had two or three big hits that have broken through on radio, at least. And, like, you know, it was the same with Sabrina Carpenter. You'd see the dynamic price in a play. And I know it's just the age-old thing of demand outstripping supply. I think something else as well that we've always been force-fed in Ireland is, like, we're very much an island on the west of Europe, and, you know, they have to transport trucks, and it costs so much more than it does to, you know, do a gig between Berlin and Paris because they can just drive it, whereas there's ferries involved and there's so much more that kind of adds to the cost. But I think it really is kind of getting out of hand so much these days, particularly when, you know, for these pop star acts that younger kids might want to see. And if you're a family, you're then under pressure as well, not only in part of the gamification of getting your hands on the tickets, but then, you know, the short window that, oh, OK, it's announced on a Monday, tickets are going on sale Friday. You're going to have that money put aside. Like, you know, the Fred Again thing that was mentioned at the top there. Yeah. Like, I was one of the many in the queue this morning. And when I got put into the waiting room, having been in it for 15 minutes beforehand, there was 32,000 people in front of me. For what I believe I've seen online, total was about 4,000 tickets. Now, I know only one person who managed to get four tickets, but that's a whole cultural movement in terms of Fred, and it just goes to show you it's right across the board in terms of genres and age groups. And I really just do think it's kind of getting a bit out of hand, and just like what your other contributor said there about post-COVID, there just seems to be so much more demand. And capitalism and the companies involved are really taking advantage of it, you know?
Yeah, I think you actually make a good point there. And it made me think, as you said it, about the logistics, the transport. It's not just a performer on a stage anymore. I mean, it is. It's a light show. It's a spectacle. It's an entire production, Jess, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I went to see the Jonas Brothers three times on their reunion tour. I went to see them in Dublin, Glasgow and Manchester. And the show that we got in Dublin wasn't the same as the UK shows. They didn't bring over the entire stage. They didn't do the same things as in the UK. And I actually felt a little bit disheartened for my friends who only went to see them in Dublin, because I was like, the UK are getting a bigger show here because it would have been more expensive to ship over the entire stage, I'm sure.
Really? So they pared it all back?
Yeah. So they had like a B stage in Glasgow. They had a massive like runway in Manchester, and they didn't even seem that interested in the show. So they weren't very chatty interacting with the audience. I went to see
Glasgow. They didn't know what city they were in.
Yeah. And then,
you know, when you've been at concerts and you feel that they just actually don't know where they are. It's like show number 16 or something.
Yeah, and it was really disheartening because it seemed like they didn't care about the Dublin one when I saw them then a couple of days later in Glasgow. I was like, oh, these guys are so into it. They're so energetic. And in
they
Dublin,
saved it all for the Glasgow gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And you see, because you were attended both, you could have that comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. It was really sad now.
Someone says here, where did I see the text? There's so many texts on this. The Mafia wouldn't hold a candle to the rip-off in Ireland. I'm getting a hotel in the Maldives for €650 for a week. Not a night like I'm hearing for here. Daylight robbery in this country. I'd sooner sleep in the back of my van. I'm in my 60s. Someone else says supply and demand drives the ticket prices. It is dynamic pricing, I suppose. That's what happens, isn't it? In 2005, I went to the Stereophonics in a nightclub in Madrid. There might have been 50 people there. It cost €10 to get in, and that included a free drink. We even got to talk to the band at the end. They were playing Lansdowne Road 3 weeks later, and the tickets were £50 each. That's James in Middleton. It just depends on the location. What do you think, Kate?
It really does. I mean, I saw Harry Styles in the Three Arena on his first tour. He was just starting out fresh out of One Direction, and it was about €50, I think, a ticket. This was back in 2017, 2018 again. And then I saw him in Slane, and the tickets were over €100. But I suppose there's a level of I have a level of understanding towards that because it is a much bigger venue. It's a much bigger production. But just to come back to what Jess was saying there, there was the same thing happened with Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish on her tour had the stage put in the middle of the room in all of these other venues. And in Dublin, because of the way the Three Arena is set up, the stage was like the normal stages in the Three Arena. So people do get different experiences,
of course,
when bands come over here.
Yeah. Look, if we keep paying for it, they'll keep charging it. That is the bottom line, isn't it? Jess Spencer, presenter with Spin 103.8. Thank you very much, Jess. And Kate Henshaw, freelance journalist. Thank you indeed for joining us in studio. That is a conversation that will roll on, no doubt.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.